We've just been having a lot of conversations about prayer recently, and the public conversations that we've had with Travis and Julia and Sean and Seasons have really ignited a deeper and a more honest dialogue about just talking to God. And if you're a guest with us this morning, we're super glad that you're here, but we just want to tell you honestly that we are a church that believes that life should be about a personal relationship yes. with Father God. No, you jump in, girl. You just preach it. Father, through Jesus, by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
We believe that prayer is all about a personal relationship. And prayer is a conversation with God. Mm-hmm. So what we're trying to do this morning is just, we really just want to lean in together from our lives together. And we just want to talk about the reality that we are learning, yeah. we are still learning to be a praying church. Mm-hmm. In order to be a church that is learning more about prayer, then we need to be a church made up of individuals and families that pray. Now, let's just be really honest about the culture that we live in. And if you haven't considered this, we cannot be a poser church. Mm-hmm. An opposer church family is a church that talks about prayer but does not practice prayer. Some of you, you're like me. You're a recovering religionist. So you grew up in a group or denomination that set aside a certain meeting for prayer, and you rarely ever, if ever, prayed because it was turned into a theology session or a conversation, but it wasn't the practice of prayer. God. And that has affected me for a long time. We cannot be a poser church. And I'm just saying that what we're talking about practically and simply is going back to the New Testament model that we read about, especially in the book of Acts, and what they did together, and prayer was part of their DNA. Not talking about prayer, but practicing prayer. So if we were to give a bunch of verses about prayer, it would be Genesis to Revelation. It would be all through the scripture. But I've asked Lori to just remind us of some verses this morning that have to do with prayer.
1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, for me," if you are a follower of Christ.
Yep.
Colossians 4:2-4, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And at the same time, pray also for us that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ." That's our job, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I am in prison, "that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak."
Yeah, even right now.
Romans 12:12, yeah. "Rejoice in our confident hope." Mm-hmm. "Be patient in trouble and keep on praying."
Yep.
Jeremiah 33:3, and I'm going to do my best to read this
that I'm supposed to quote it.
We taught our kids to sing it.
We learned it in the King James, so that's just what we say it in.
And we sing it, and you don't want to hear my voice.
No, we do.
"Call to me," my singing voice.
Mm. No. Okay.
"Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know."
Yeah.
Hebrews 4:16. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen. So it's funny how often our study team, when we're studying together on Tuesdays, we wind up right back at Matthew chapter 6 on a regular basis. Luke. So Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13, this is our Lord responding. And this is what he said. Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. And some of you, if you're a recovering religionist, let's just be honest, that some of you have been so influenced by people that you've heard, blah, blah, and then they pontificate with all this theology that it just affects you because your prayers are like, help.
Yes, that's me.
And it doesn't sound like impressive, but those cries, they impress Father God. Let me just keep reading. I'll get all sidetracked. I tell you the truth. That is all the reward they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private, when your Father, who sees everything, will reward you. When you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do. They think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. But don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask it. Pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today the food we need and forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. So much in there. You can dive into this. So many great studies. But if prayer is about a growing conversation relationship with the God of the universe, then every single one of us should be learning, growing, and changing within this relationship of faith. So let me just say this. This teaching this morning is for every single person. Yes. If you're here this morning and you have not made that decision to believe, then this is for you because we're trying to reiterate, this is not about a religious thing. This is about a genuine relationship that Father God has made available because he gave the ultimate sacrifice of his son. And then as his son left this world, he sent the Holy Spirit to work on our conscience and convict us and draw us about his love. So think about this. If this is what's really going on, then it should be about a growing, changing relationship with Father. Hey, we've discussed the differences between men and women regarding prayer, and we've proclaimed the importance. Last week, what a glorious opportunity to stand to be a part of that service at the pavilion. Greatest number of people we've ever seen show up, but it was for the simple beauty of parents saying, we are dedicating ourselves to the practice of following Jesus in front of our children, taking that responsibility seriously. Some of our moms, they've had some deep discussions and dialogue back and forth with each other about their biggest struggles when it comes to prayer. I want to share some of those with you this morning. We're not going to go in depth about all that they've shared. It's just some beautiful, wide open, heartfelt honesty. But what we want to do is just share with you some highlights about some of the things that these young moms have said. These are my biggest struggles with prayer. I can relate to so many of these, but I love the first one. Just get distracted. I'm like, I love that. I feel that. I understand that. Distraction or lack of focus. Most of you know, if you know me at all, I squirrel very easily, you know, especially when kids are involved. There's children, you know. Think about it. Distractions, lack of focus. A lot of people, even in private, when we're talking, men and women, but the ladies have said this, that even in their ability to talk to God, they're still at a point where they don't know what to say.
What to say.
What do I say to Father? Guilt haunts a lot of us.
Shame.
Shame is a big thing.
Doubt.
Knowing
God's will.
Yep.
Being bold for big things. Scared to ask big things.
Isn't it crazy how, well, even for you and I, We can pray big prayers for other people.
Yes.
You know what we're talking about? Like, we can be bold, like, Denny, I'm just going to ask God to move mountains on your behalf. But then when it comes to yourself, you're like, meh.
Because that's because we listen to the evil one.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Religious routine or a checklist. We've talked about this. The young moms, mm-hmm. they struggle with that. Really believing that God has a plan for me or for us. Do you hear that up there? I love the celebration of those kids. They are actively participating in the pursuit of Jesus up there. But there's so many other things. But please hear us in a nutshell. The simple challenge for today, and Lori and I want to say for the rest of your life, mm-hmm. is practice prayer.
Yes.
Practice prayer. So, this is how we foster prayer in the family. Whether you're single or whether you're married with five children, it doesn't matter. Practice prayer. What Lori and I are trying to say and what we're going to say is that we are up here not because we are writing a prayer book, mm-hmm. but we have been taking baby steps our entire dating life and our entire married life of 42 years.
Yes.
To practice prayer and learn what prayer is. We talk about this all the time. Brothers and sisters, we're at a point in our world and our society. Can we just do away with all the excuses, all the rationale, all the reasons, all the blah, 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 and just regardless of what's going on, we have to make a decision that we're going to practice prayer. We have to pray. And we've been learning to do that all of our lives.
Yes, we have. And one of the things that Tim had asked me to share was, what did prayer look like for me? You see me where I am now, but I've been walking this road for a long time.
Yeah.
At the very beginning, and I come from a lot of dysfunction, a lot of messed up dysfunction. And when I got married to Tim, I thought, oh, everything is going to be wonderful. He's rescuing me. But I took me with me.
But she also didn't know
marriage.
She didn't fully know what she was getting into.
And I think that's why God worked the way he did. But what I want to say is this. I had to learn how to pray. That's how I pray for you, darling, that you will learn and you will walk with God. Girls, yep. You sitting right up here, that's how I pray for you as well. But one of the things I remember, and I didn't know that it was going to be planned this way, but my son is sitting right here. I remember many years ago when I got pregnant with him. I was scared to death. I didn't know what does it look like to break generational sin. In the last 2 weeks, I have been asked, and today is the sixth time, how do you break generational sin?
And just to show
I'm going to tell you.
Just to show you how the Holy Spirit works, it's not just her.
No.
Both of us individually and other people. The Spirit of the living God is at work within this community, because we're talking about prayer and fasting. And the consistent thing that people are bringing up when we're talking about having conversations with God is people are saying, can we break generational curses?
Yes.
Can we break generational sins? How do we break generational sin? Isn't it just amazing that the Holy Spirit is bringing this to the forefront? And then Lori and I are standing up here talking to you about us being trophies of grace. You know us for who we are now after 42 years of marriage, 45 years, 3 years of dating. But what we're trying to say is we come from dysfunctional situations, and it is our lives together, but God has used our children to set the bar higher for us to be committed. God, teach us to pray. Show us how to live differently, because we want something better by your grace for our children.
And that was the motivating factor in our lives. We were
serving,
busy in ministry. But when God blessed us with our son, it brought me to my knees, because I did not want to raise him the way in which I was raised.
Yeah.
I wanted something different, so I knew that I had to beg God. But this is the wonderful thing. If you know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, if you're for sure that if you were to die, you know where you're going to spend your eternity, this is the book for you.
Yep, that's the guy.
Right here. This is the instructions.
Mm-hmm.
This is these are the tools right here to change your heart, your life, your direction. If you want to break free of generational sin or just sin in general, things that you struggle with, then this right here is the guide.
Yep.
Right here, the Word of God. I got on my knees, and I beg God, change me.
Yep.
How do I raise him to love you with all of his heart, his soul, and his mind? And I'll tell you what God said. Model it.
Yep.
Model it. I didn't know what that looked like. I was learning how to pray. I got saved when I was 16. Married him when I was 21. It's been quite the journey. But I am so thankful. And we always tell Timmy, you were a practice child.
He was. He was a guinea
pig. But let me tell you what I prayed. And these are things that I want to encourage you to do if you're not already. When I was pregnant with him, I started praying for two things. His salvation. I prayed the whole time, often, multi times a week, that he would know Jesus as his Lord and Savior at an early age and that he would love God. Then I also prayed and she walked out somewhere with a little girl, my little granddaughter that wanted her pop-pop. I don't know if you saw that. They just got in last night. I prayed for the right soulmate for him while I was pregnant with him. I prayed for the right soulmate and God blessed me with my sweet Maggie. And then my other children as well. I'm so thankful. But that doesn't just happen. I was learning how to pray. I'm reading scripture because what we do sometimes is we come to church on Sunday. Boy, the Holy Spirit's working in our heart. We're so excited. And then we leave and we feel defeated because we want to change, but we don't.
Yeah.
And it's a choice that we make. So you know what? I had to pray in my selfishness. God, change my want to. Help me to want you more than this or this or this. And help me to model what it looks like. We were their models.
Mm-hmm.
You are too. Your children who are either sitting next to you or in a Sunday school class or at home or at college or wherever they may be, you're the role model.
Yep.
It's you.
Yep.
If you're struggling with that or you're wanting to live differently, this is what I'm going to say. Do it.
Yep.
Make a choice to live differently.
Practice it.
Practice. And so I would read a scripture. And this is going to sound crazy and childish, but that was me new in Christ. And I would get on my knees. The Word of God said, the Bible says, let the word of my mouth, what I say, and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I had to pray? I just read this, God. How do I apply this and live it out today? Help me to die to myself so that I can see the needs of other people. I had to pray that all the time.
Yeah.
And I still pray that. When I leave for work, I get in the vehicle, I talk to God. It's taken me a long time to get to where I am today. But I have prayed faithfully for my children.
Mm-hmm.
And God has blessed them with amazing spouses. Are their marriages perfect? No, because guess what? Is ours.
Nope.
But you work at it and you don't give up.
Yeah, absolutely.
But we had to spend time, Tim and I, on our knees together.
Yep.
Or sitting in our chairs.
Yep.
And can I be honest with you all about something, too? Some of you men that are sitting in here today, if I told you how I have been praying for you, just makes me want to cry. Because there are prayers that I pray that I won't share with you because I don't want to scare you off. But I pray for godly men that are going to lead their families, lead their wives and their children. That's my prayer. And can I tell you, God has answered my prayer. I'm trying really hard not to point my finger. But there are many of you sitting right here. You don't even know how we've been praying. and you're here and you are doing what we ask God to show you to lead your home. Mm-hmm. And that comes from your own personal walk with God.
Yep.
And you are learning little steps to read His word, and then how do I live it out? How do I live this out? How do I leave my wife? Mm-hmm. How do I leave my children? It's all right here. All the tools that you need as a follower of Christ are right here, right in His word. Now, you have to, I love to listen to messages. I listen to them all the time in the house.
Yeah.
When I'm driving.
4:30 in the morning.
Maybe 4:30.
Volume all the way up.
But I love listening.
I appreciate that. I really do. No, I do.
And I love listening to messages, and it's great. And I'm learning and I'm growing. And I love to hear somebody else's perspective or what they're learning from the scripture. But nothing takes the place of right here.
Yep.
You, me, taking the word of God and living it out in our lives.
Yep.
And that's the prayer. That is the only reason I am where I am today and married to Tim, is because of the grace of God in my life. I'm not who I used to be. And ladies, for those of you that struggle with shame and all kinds of stuff, stop. Just stop it. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. And you mamas that feel like you're doing the same thing all the time, cooking a meal, trying to keep your children alive. And that is your job. But while you're doing it, teach them to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Teach your children to pray. Model that. And it's age appropriate. They're little, 10-second prayer over their boo-boos or over whatever it may be. You are teaching them to pray.
Mm-hmm.
Girls, you pray together as young ladies, and you walk with God and wait for the right person in your life. That was not in the plan, but that just came out. Because that's how I pray.
Yeah, that is how I pray for them.
For your children. Because we're one big family.
She's praying for you too.
Yes. Who you marry matters.
Yep.
So that you can serve the Lord together in your family. You pray together. Dads, for those of you who are learning to pray, I am so excited and I am so proud of each one of you.
Mm-hmm.
You are becoming the man that God desires for you to be. So wives, you keep praying for them. Sometimes we need to keep this shut and we need to keep that prayer line open and pray for our spouses and pray over your children. And these are some of the things that I have learned and am still learning. But prayer now for me, for us together as a couple, has changed me from the inside out.
Yep.
And I am learning, still learning to trust Him, still learning about His word, still learning to take what I've just read. How do I live that out? How do I love on other people when I'm a selfish person? God, take that away from me. Help me to see what you want me to see today.
Yeah. So we want you to think about, what is your misunderstanding or what is your struggle? Some of the ladies have been honest and they shared, what is it that's hindering us from drawing closer to God and talking to Him? Here's the thing. We just want to be straightforward. This is what Lori and I are trying to do. Let's just lay the excuses. Let's look at it and address whatever it is that's going on. Let's confess it. Let's just let go of it. And then take baby steps of faith to change it.
Yes.
Like, let's just put the excuse making aside. And what you've heard from some of the ladies, we want to ask you this morning, what is it in your life? Are you or do you? Are you self-conscious?
Hmm.
We've talked to people, they've said, even when it's just God and I'm self-conscious. I second guess what I should say. I'm embarrassed. Are you fearful or anxious? Is that holding you back from just practicing conversation with God? Do you struggle with comparison?
Mm.
Do you battle past disappointments and heartaches? Some of you, you grew up in the church, and at some point, you maybe prayed about something, and nobody talked to you, and God didn't answer your prayer the way that you thought it should be answered. And so it just devastated you, and you were disappointed. and there was some heartache there. Do you get mixed signals about how to talk or proceed in your relationship with God? It's amazing how often this phrase, mixed signals, has come up the last several weeks. Are you preoccupied with outcomes? Hey, men, are you preoccupied with outcomes instead of the process of relationship? I know some of you ladies too. Are you confined by your own expectations? Are you enslaved or chained by the expectations that you have on God, on yourself, on other people? Or just simply put, I know this sounds, but we've talked about the relationship triangle. Do you feel like a failure when it comes to relationships? So what's going to be any different about my relationship with God? Think about these things. And we're going to repeat it. Whatever is holding you back, be honest, confront it today like never before. You've got to address it, confess it, and take baby steps of faith to change it. Now, we're going to use our relationship. I just want to show you this real quick. So for us, part of our relationship growth and development is we have to learn on different levels how to express our emotions to one another. We're still learning how to do that on a deeper level. It's called talking. It's called conversation. It's dialogue. And then in that process, we learn to trust one another. Both of us have trust issues. So through the years, we've learned to trust one another on a deeper level. And then we just walk life together. And then as we do that, these are all just natural experiences within a positive, growing relationship. It's through these shared experiences that trust is built and developed. Yeah. Some of you feel like you don't have the kind of trust in Father God that you want. It's because you probably have not pressed into the relational component. Yes. Yes. You're trying to impress him. You're trying to please him. You're trying to obey him instead of having a shared relational experience. So this is how we build trust with God. Yeah. Use the same example. We invite him in and we give him space in our lives. Some of you, you're still not at that point. Just invite him in and give him space in your life. Some of you, you've done that in the past, but you've walked away or you pushed him out. Doesn't mean he left, but in your own functional reality, you don't feel like he's there. Give him space. Invite him in. You talk to him. Share our emotions and struggles with him, men especially. It's okay to talk about whatever's going on with him. We include him in every part of our lives and we walk life with him. I can't embrace her and then put her in a spot and say, this is the time I'm going to interact with you. You're relegated to this spot. We are one. She's part of me. So I'm not trying to hide. I'm not trying to... This is what we have to learn to do with Father God.
Yes.
Just let him be a part of the life that we're living 24/7. We begin to have shared experiences with the God family, and it is through these shared experiences that trust is built and developed. You have to practice. You want to feel the love and the presence, and you want to trust God? You've got to practice. You've got to talk to him. And if prayer is all about a personal relationship, then relationship is all about participation. Think about this. Prayer is the privilege of participation with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Simply said, the way we foster prayer is to practice prayer.
Yes.
It's just that simple. So what we want to do is we want to give a few examples of just how to practice prayer, and we're going to wrap things up. What we've had several situations over the last several weeks, and we love this, and we can just say to you that this has made a huge change in our lives. We had a couple this week we were hanging out with, we were spending time with, and they took a huge baby step in their lives. The wife said to her husband, simply said, can we pray together? Yes. She was fully prepared for him to say no, because they're taking baby steps of faith. He said, okay. This is what he said, but you pray.
And that's okay.
She said, okay.
That's okay.
So they started praying together. Some of you, you've been at Craig and Amy Groeschel marriage class with them. We watched the video. Lori and I started this. For us being in ministry, this is always super hard for us because we're serving, we're going, we're pouring out on other people. And we would pray privately, we'd pray by ourselves, but it's always been a huge struggle for us to pray together.
Yeah.
So what we started doing is just this simple thing. See how we're holding hands? We'll hold hands, and then this is what we do. Okay? Amen. She's confessed to me that it's really hard for her to be upset and mad at me when we're doing this. So I really love this position now. Okay?
But it's true. We're laughing about it.
But I pressed
but
into
it really
that
is
lot.
True.
There we go. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. So, but what we're saying is for us, we've been doing this for several years now, and we've made it a simple practice. We've been practicing this, and it's been so life-altering. And sometimes it may be a 60-second prayer. Sometimes it may be a 2 or 3 minute prayer.
But it's not this kind of prayer. God changed, well, while I'm standing here with him, God changed him.
It might have started that way, though.
Well, I'm not going. But it's really, God changed me. Help me to be the helpmeet that he needs. Help me to get my eyes off myself so that I can meet his needs. And he prays the same way.
But most of the time, what we're doing is we're just seeking him together.
Yeah,
we want to do what you want us to do. We want to be open to what you want us to see. We want to see the people that you want us to talk to today.
My prayer.
And so this, and we've had a couple of couples over the last several weeks that have just simply started praying together. And that's a simple practice, practicing conversation with God together.
Yes.
It's life altering. Another thing, now Lori uses this now for grandkids. And so some of you, this is what she likes to give as a gift. And the way God's blessing this church family, we need to start ordering these by the case.
Yes.
Okay, when we go to baby showers and wedding showers and things like that. But it's just a simple thing of being able to practice prayer with young children and show them the importance of prayer. I'm going to tell you what I love is this tradition didn't start with Tim Duggins. This started with Lori Duggins, is that when the kids were growing up, Junior, Jacqueline, and then later on with Megan, what wound up happening is anytime we saw an EMS vehicle go by, anytime we saw law enforcement or any kind of response situation where you knew that people were frontline people, Lori would always say to the kids, let's pray for those people. Let's pray for whatever situation they're getting into. Let's intercede for those people. Now, our children now have their children do the same thing. It's a simple thing, but it's a matter of something simple that we can do to model and
model.
Practice talking to Father God. And
no matter where you are, no matter what the situation is, in your home quietly, in the private place that God taught in his word tells us we should do as well. But also we're supposed to pray without ceasing. Well, we work, we have families. So what does that look like? There are many times I'm praying out loud in the vehicle. I'm praying as I'm walking into a store. But this took time. Like, God, help me to see what you want me to see.
What's funny is sometimes she'll be walking through the house doing that.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, are you talking to me or him? I just want to know. I don't know if I'm supposed to answer. And she'll be like, him. I'm like, okay.
I may have been talking to him about him, but no.
I don't want to know that.
Yeah, and I'm teasing. But what I want to say, Tim had asked me if I would share. This is a very special book for me. It's God Bless My Boo-Boos. And not only have I read it to my grandchildren, but there are children, parents sitting in this room. I've read it. I've had the privilege of reading it to your kids. And what is so neat about it, and I'm sorry, I'm a little on the emotional side.
That's okay.
Because I, when I told you that I pray for their salvation, my children's salvation, and then here, and their spouses, and now they're married and they have children. And now, and then as soon as they were pregnant with their children, I kept praying again. God, save their souls. Mm-hmm. I pray protection over them. I pray that you give my children and their spouses wisdom. Because it's not my job to raise them.
Yep.
It's now their job to raise their children. So this little book, whenever I have my grandkids, whenever they get a boo-boo, Nana's going to pray about that boo-boo.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily because it's, you know, life-altering boo-boo, but we are teaching our kids what is it like to pray. This book is all about little animals. All children love animals. And they've got little band-aids on, little boo-boos.
All the animals have boo-boos, by the way.
Yes, okay. And they do. And I've read this book over and over and over again to them. Okay, well, how can Nana pray for you? Now they're growing up. They know that Nana is praying for them. I have little ones that I'm reading this book to now, as well as we have quite a few grandchildren. We are very, very blessed. But one of the things I pray as well, what I prayed for my children, I pray for my grandchildren as well, who, first of all, their salvation. We get a call from our son, and this is very important to me. I want my children to know God and my grandchildren to know God and to love God with all their heart, their soul, and their mind. Timmy calls us, no, took a video.
Mm-hmm.
And then he explained everything to us. Now know that we are praying for our grandchildren's salvation. He had the wonderful privilege, and his family, they were all together. And the older children were also talking to her as well. And she prayed at the kitchen table and asked Jesus to be her Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
That's an answer to our prayers.
She said, I believe.
And that's important, yes.
I believe.
Yes, and as followers of Christ, that's what we're supposed to do. Train and teach our children the Word of God.
And it's just through practicing.
Absolutely.
Just simple steps of practicing. So one of the things that we've realized, this may not have been true in the past, but we now have a changing culture. So let me just say this. We want to say this to some of you. Simply stopping at the dinner table and not praying for the whole world, but just to say, Father, thank you for the privilege of eating food today.
Yes.
It's just a simple practice right there. Some of you, when somebody shares a burden or a heartfelt thing, like, you know, just to be able to say right there at the moment, can I pray with you or for you? And then you just simply say, not this long drawn out thing, but to just practice prayer, practice conversation with God. Talk to Father God like he's really real with other people and just say, hey, God, will you help this person and this family in such a way to where that they know that you love and care for them?
Amen.
I don't know what they need, but you do help them today. Just that simple.
Yes.
Can you imagine if we pressed into practicing prayer in grocery stores, in automotive places, in different venues, different situations? Somebody gets hurt on a ball field, and it's right there. There's people saying, God, can you help? Can you intercede?
Yes.
The simple thing of practicing prayer together. So we want to wrap things up by saying this to you. Practice prayer. We're trying to get you to take baby steps. Practice it in your mind and soul. Some of you are like, do I have to say it out loud? No, God knows your heart. But talk to him in your mind and your soul. Then maybe the next step is with your lips moving quietly.
Yes.
We talked about that about Samuel's mom. You know? But her lips are moving quietly. Then with your lips expressing the words out loud. Then maybe you take the next step and you start conversing with God, with family and friends, and then maybe in public. What we're trying to be is a church family that expresses our baby steps of dependent faith relationship. That's what's going on. That's going to impact our world. I'm not saying that politics doesn't matter, but some of us are too preoccupied with politics and not focused enough on the power of relational conversation with God. Because that's the power to change hearts, lives, and our world. And maybe we be a church family that is fostering prayer.
Amen. Amen.
Practicing prayer. Learning to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength means that we are regularly learning the powerful process of conversing with the God family.
Yes.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So what we're asking you to do this morning is to dig in deeper. It doesn't matter where you are. If you see this relationship with Father God as a growing, changing relationship, there's no plateau that we're ever supposed to be on because we are still learning and growing together after 45 years.
Yes.
I'm still engaged with her. I'm not bored. I can't figure everything out. I love the fact that I'm not a man. I mean, I am a man. She's not a man, and I'm not a woman. And that keeps us connected because we're learning more about each other all the time. When we begin to see our relationship with Father God through that deep personal conversation closeness relationship, we never arrive. And that's the beauty of it. Some of you, you come from church backgrounds where you get to the point where you demand or you're the woman. That's not who we are, and that's not what we believe spiritually from the scripture. Let's practice conversation with God. With this in mind, let's stand and let's worship with our team and open our hearts up and our minds to Him this morning on a whole new level.